Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, late start, Lisa Wolf. It is 11:35 here on the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks, David Jennings. And we are going to not play our last show, KC Crime Photographer, but we will start things off in just a little bit with a quarter-hour episode, Christmas episode, of Vic and Say. Then after that, it's The Whistler and then The Great Gildersleeve. How does that sound, Lisa?
That sounds perfect. You know, we did get a late start, but just a little bit late. We still have a great show and all sorts of surprises and goodies, so
yeah.
Stay with us.
We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're starting all of our Christmas programming tonight.
That's right.
Starting tonight.
It's December.
Yeah, all right. Let's start things off right now with a quarter-hour Christmas show with Vic and Sade.
Hello there. Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by Procter & Gamble, the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco.
Hey, Lou, one of the neighbors donate this cherry pie?
Why?
Juicy cherries and this flaky brown crust. Sure take my hat off to whoever made this.
But, honey, I did.
You did?
Yes.
But how come? First you swear off pie making because your crusts are tough. Then you produce a masterpiece like this.
Well, I found out something wonderful, Ed. It's a new pastry method developed by the makers of Crisco.
Crisco?
Yes. Crisco's a pure all-vegetable shortening that's wonderful for pies. And this new pastry method, why, it's a marvel. Even I can be sure of lovely flaky pie crust.
Yes, every woman who's had trouble with tough pie crust can be sure of tender, flaky pastry now. And why? Because Crisco's surefire new pastry method does away with the two big causes of tough pie crust. Too much water in your dough and too much handling. You see, other recipes don't tell you the exact amount of water to use. You add a little water and a little more to your dough till you think it's about right. And too often you use too much water. So you get a sticky dough, a tough crust. But Crisco's easy new method does away with that guesswork. It tells you just how much water to use. So you get a dough that doesn't crumble or split. That's much easier to roll out. And boy, what wonderful pie crust. A delicate golden brown pie crust that's tender and flaky, yet doesn't crumble. So try this easy new Crisco method. You'll find the step-by-step directions right at your store, printed on the contest blanks for Crisco's Double Cash Contest. If by any chance your dealer doesn't have his supply yet, he will very soon. So just ask him to put aside one of the contest blanks with Crisco's pastry method on it. From now on, be sure of tender, flaky pies. Use pure, all-vegetable Crisco with Crisco's sensational new pastry method. Well, sir, it's about 7:30 o'clock as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Cook and their Mr. Rush Cook spending a quiet evening at home. The male members of the family are seated on the davenport with sections of the newspaper, while wife and mother Sade, in her husband's easy chair, industriously mends gentlemen's socks. And now this conversation.
Vic, will you be a wonderful, fine, elegant fella and do something without kicking and complaining?
What's this now?
Well, will you?
Will I what?
Do a person a tiny little trivial favor without making enormous...
I'm open, Dr. Speech. What you got up your sleeve?
Here I am trying to ask my husband to do something for me and scared he'll put up a holler.
Must be quite a something you have in mind asking.
It's nothing. Nothing at all.
Hmm.
Wouldn't take 15 minutes of your time. Wouldn't take 10 minutes of your time.
Oh, Sunday safe.
Well, sir, I see you people have struck up a conversation. By George,
I believe. Be with downtown tomorrow afternoon.
What?
Oh, for Pete's sake. What's eating your mother necktie, Clarence?
I don't know.
I believe I'll take my newspaper out in the kitchen where I can read in peace and quiet without hysterics.
Oh, now, hey, I'll tell you what I said.
What'd you say?
Well, will you meet Miss Afrot downtown tomorrow afternoon?
What for?
Exchange some merchandise in at Yamilton's.
Oh, lady stuff.
Exchange some merchandise in at Yamilton's?
Yes.
Perhaps you'd best explain.
Well, I'm afraid you'll scream like a panther.
Is it as gravy boat here surmised? Lady stuff?
Yes.
I want no part of it.
No, Vic, you gotta be a sport and play ball.
I refuse to become involved in any ridiculous situation
it
where a gang of women...
15 minutes of your time. Won't require 10 minutes of your time.
Why should I meet Miss Apparat downtown tomorrow afternoon?
Because you're the husband.
Lady stuff, lady stuff, lady
Nobody
stuff.
Nobody said anything to you, mister.
I was only thinking out loud.
Well, don't.
Why should I meet Miss Apparat downtown tomorrow afternoon, Sadie?
Because you're the husband.
Oh.
Here's the thing of it. Remember that little Christmas present of mine you got hidden away?
No.
Sure you do.
No.
The package the Thimble Club ladies give you to hide.
Oh, those wash rags?
Don't say wash rags. I'm not supposed to know anything about wash rags.
Oh,
lady stuff.
You appreciate what I'm talking about now?
Very, very vaguely.
The Thimble Club ladies give you a package with a Christmas gift inside it, and you were supposed...
Well, that wasn't me. That was Rush. They give it to Rush to hide. Here, Rush, you chat with Mama. I'm going out in the kitchen.
No, sir, now you sit still.
It was Rush had the passage. Wasn't it Rush, Rush?
It certainly was, Gov.
It was Rush.
Well, we'll make out like it was you. Better not have children in on this. Miss Apparat don't want to meet children downtown.
Say, please.
Here's the thing of it. Since the Thimble Club ladies bought me them wash rags for Christmas, Yamilton's have got in a new stock of wash rags that's 1,000,000% better quality. Same price and all, but 1,000,000% better quality. Miss Apparat found out about this new stock of wash rags and naturally wanted to exchange the ones the ladies bought me for the nicer ones.
Sadie, please.
Why do you keep saying Sadie, please?
I don't want to meet Miss Apparat downtown.
You gotta meet Miss Apparat downtown. You're the husband.
Oh.
Lady stuff.
Miss Apparat will telephone you tomorrow morning at the office. She'll ask you to dig up my Christmas present out of its hiding place and bring it down to Yamilton's at some specified time. She'll be there to meet you, and the two of you'll exchange the merchandise. That's absolutely all there is to it, and like I say, it won't require 10 minutes of your time.
But why? Why?
You appreciate why.
I don't. I take my solemn oath I don't.
Well, this is just talky-talk.
Rush, my boy, maybe you can throw some light on this bewildering business.
Sure. It's just lady stuff. To begin
with... I'm not supposed to know the Thimble Club ladies give you a Christmas present for me. I'm 100% ignorant. There's a package hidden away someplace here in the house. That's strictly between you and the Thimble Club ladies. That's your own little wicked secret.
My own wicked little secret. Did you hear that, Rush? My own wicked little secret.
Lady stuff.
After the holidays, we can all have a hearty laugh. Hey, what's the idea, Miss Apparat? You meeting my husband downtown on the sly. He told me about it. He told me how the two of you sneaked down to Hamilton's and exchanged my Christmas present.
Oh. Why, George, I believe this is the worst lady
so
stuff
tomorrow noon after dinner, you dig the package out of your hiding place when I'm not looking. Keep it under your coat so I can't see. And take it down to wherever you arrange to meet Miss Apra.
See, will you talk to me man to man a minute?
Sure.
In the first place, I don't even know where the wash rags are hidden.
Will you quit saying wash rags?
You said you'd talk to me man to man.
I will. Quit saying wash rags.
Mm.
I don't know anything about any wash rags.
Mm-hmm.
You have something to say, why say package.
I don't even know where the package is hidden.
Well, I certainly don't. Get Rush off to one side when I'm not around. Come to him for information.
I forgot.
You forgot what?
Where you hid the wash rags.
Way back in the buffet.
Oh.
Did you hear that, Vic?
Yeah.
Tonight, when I go to bed, I'll take the package upstairs and put it in your dresser drawer. And you won't get to fishing around in the buffet and mussing up my folded tablecloths and things.
Sadie, would you give me a frank, honest answer to a question or two?
I won't answer any foolish questions.
Since you know you're getting wash rags for Christmas, since Miss Apparat knows you know it, why can't you simply exchange them yourself?
I call that a foolish question.
Lady stuff.
Yes, I call that a foolish question. The best part of Christmas presents is the surprise. You know that as well as I do. The Thimble Club ladies want their gift to be a surprise. That's why they give it to you on the sly and told you to hide it where I couldn't find it.
But you hid it yourself.
I don't believe we require any comments from you, Rush.
Uh-huh. But you hid the package yourself, Sage, and your new wash rags were inside.
Oh, that's all ancient history. I've forgotten all that. I'll be terrible surprised and thrilled Christmas morning when you scalawags hand me my gift and tell me it's from the Thimble Club ladies.
Will you also be terribly surprised and thrilled when you find out Miss Apparat and myself had a secret meeting downtown in Yamilton's?
Well, of course.
I don't feel very well.
Goodness, what oceans of talky-talk over some little tiny trivial business that ain't worth a hill of beans.
By George, in the entire course of my career...
Something on your chin.
Yeah?
Breadcrumbs, looks like.
Oh.
Ish.
One more question, Sage.
Yeah?
Does Miss Apparat know that I know she's going to telephone me at the office
yes.
in the morning? You girls talk that all over.
Yes. She hesitated to call up and ask you if there was any chance you might turn her down. I said I'd fix it and let her know.
Then Miss Apparat knows that I know that you know that she knows that we all know. Oh, my head's beginning to spin.
Well, I should think it would. All this big, enormous chatter over nothing.
Mm.
You'll do this little measly favor for me, won't you?
Mm.
Well, will you? Fine. Take the package down with you underneath your coat tomorrow noon. Bring the other package back home with you underneath your coat. You can put it in your dresser drawer and I'll get it and hide it again in the buffet.
How you trim yourself, huh?
I don't think we need sarcasm and trash. Goodness, you'd take all the fun and surprise out of Christmas.
I'm a monster, no mistake.
And look, now don't you sulk and pout when you meet Miss Apparat tomorrow. You and her have hatched up this wicked stunt between you, see. Laugh and make jokes about how you terrible scalawags are pulling the wool over my eyes.
Oh.
Then after the holidays, we can all have a big dandy laugh over how I got completely fooled.
I'm not feeling well.
Oh, I expect you, Liv.
Oh, no.
Well, I guess I better notify Ruthie you agreed to meet Miss Apparat.
Ruthie?
Yes.
What's Ruthie got to do with...
She's our go-between.
Go-between?
Yes.
Go-between. You hear that, Rush? Go between.
Lady stuff.
Well, you see, I couldn't very well talk this over with Miss Apparat. I'm not supposed to know anything about it. Same thing as this afternoon.
What about this afternoon?
Well, I said I'd discuss details with Miss Apparat. Well, I didn't. Ruthie talked with her and then called me up and dropped hints. So now I'll telephone Ruthie and give her the go-ahead to notify Miss Apparat you're expecting her to get in touch with you at the office in the morning. 2572X, please. Yes. They may have gone to the picture show.
Mm-hmm.
Something's on Fred particularly wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
What's on, Rush?
A Gloria Golden four-fisted Frank Futtleman in Your Stolen Hugs and Kisses Are So Sweet, Emergency Balloon Parachutist Gregory. It's all about...
Hello, Fred. Yes. Oh, fine. Is she there handy? Will you please, Fred?
Game of rummy, gal?
I don't feel very good.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I just don't feel very good.
I imagine you'll survive.
Mm.
Hello there, lady. Oh, just sitting around the living room here with her teeth in her mouth. Oh? Well, I just got through saying to Vic, I bet you people are going to take in the Bijo tonight. Uh-huh. He's fine? Why, I suppose. Just a second. You plan on being in your office all morning tomorrow?
Oh.
Well, do you?
Oh.
Yes, lady, he'll be there. Why do you ask? Secrets, huh? You wicked scalawags hatching up some terrible plot I don't know anything about. Well, I just thought I'd give you a ring, Ruthie. Uh-huh. All right, lady. You bet. Goodbye. They're going to the picture show. What you staring at me so funny for? What are you staring at me funny for? Rush. I asked you a question. I said, what are you staring at me funny for?
Lady stuff.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Vic and Sade until the next time. You know, maybe you think I like to stand here and dream up wonderful-sounding fried foods just to make you hungry. Like sweet potatoes, for instance. French fried, the Crisco way. Oh, boy. Golden centers, sweet as sugar, all wrapped up in crispy brown crusts.
But I wouldn't tempt you like this if I couldn't honestly promise you that those Crisco French fried sweets are digestible, too. Why, in answer to a question sent doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. And when you realize this snowy white Crisco is pure and all vegetable, I think you'll even give the youngsters Crisco fried foods without a fear. Now, perhaps you've used old-fashioned fats from a mistaken idea of thrift, but they're more expensive now. And pure, all-vegetable Crisco, a quality shortening, costs less than 2 cents a day for frying. So, for delicious, digestible fried foods, use pure, digestible Crisco. Don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Herlihy speaking.
That's little old me, Ed Herlihy, there. That was Vic and Sade from, it's a sort of a Christmas show, although it was broadcast in October, so a couple of months before Christmas, October 8th, 1941, Sade surprise Christmas gift, Art Van Harvey and Bernadine Flynn. One of the only radio shows, Lisa. It was so popular that it aired on all 3 networks. It aired on NBC, CBS, and ABC. Didn't air on Mutual, but it aired on all 3 networks. So popular. Ran for many years. Hope you enjoyed that. It's kicking off our Christmas programming here. And this is program 340 in the series of the WGN Radio Theater. We're going to take a quick break, and then it's going to be a lot more fun. Stick around. You know what, Lisa?
Yes.
Something kind of, I guess, controversial.
Yeah.
In the news this week, right?
Exactly. I know. I sent it to you. You'd already seen it. Star 102 in Cleveland is the radio station. They call themselves the Christmas station. But what did they do this week?
They banned
the song.
A very popular Christmas song.
Yes. It's called Baby It's Cold Outside, the duet. We all know. We all love it.
Yeah. Originally written in 1944.
Exactly.
So it's a golden age of radio song. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the man is trying to dissuade a woman from leaving a party despite her repeated protests. And that got some groups to thinking. The Me Too movement was all up in arms. So the question is this perceived as inappropriate in the age of Me Too? Are the lyrics offensive, or is the world sensitive if people are too easily offended? Is this all getting out of hand? We thought we'd play the song, and you can listen to the lyrics and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear your opinion.
All right, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I fall.
The neighbors might
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like stars right now.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
Mind
sir.
If I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
Oh, baby,
say.
Don't hold out, baby.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but baby,
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has
How
been
lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
Or maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get
but
home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
At
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and died.
I really can't
Get
stay.
Over that old doubt.
Ah, oh, but it's cold outside.
All right. I really can't
but
stay.
Baby, it's cold
There we go.
Outside.
So, Lisa,
I'm looking at the text in line, and I'm noting that most people, or everybody that's texted in thus far, has decided that that's not offensive and that it's going too far to pull the song.
Yeah, I'm kind of offended.
You don't seem offended.
You know, that, by the way, that's Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalban singing that song.
That was 1949 they were singing it.
Yeah. Our text in line, by the way, is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Text in. Let us know what you think. Should that song be banned from the radio?
I would actually love to hear people's replies on both sides. So I really am open to hearing what you have to say. Text in, and we'll read some of the text later on in the show, and we'll talk about what people are saying on both sides of the coin.
All right. Well, in our next hour, we're going to tune into a Christmas episode of The Whistler. You won't want to miss that. After that, it's The Great Gildersleeve, my brother's least favorite radio show.
But we love it.
Terrific Christmas show starring Hal Perry. That's the next 2 hours here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, seems like overwhelmingly people do not want it banned.
No, there is not one person who has texted or messaged or posted that has any problem or is offended by that song thus far.
And we've had a lot of texts.
I haven't seen one person offended. So if you are offended or you think there are reasons, I would love to read them. We love to hear and discuss and, feel it out and hear from all sides.
Our text in line, 312-981-7200. In this hour, Lisa, we are going to tune into The Whistler, a good show starring Betty Lou Gerson, who was the subject of our fun fact this week. You can go to our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page and read all about our fun fact that had to do with the star of The Whistler coming your way.
Yes, but before that, we're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous.
Yes, we are.
And the person for hour one will be Meryl Streep.
That's right. We're going to
That's fine. Meryl Streep.
Oh, sorry. My fault.
Yep.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep.
Yep. I know her. I've
you
heard
know
of her. No.
You're
I've
best friends
her.
With her?
I've heard of her.
You've heard of her.
And,
I hope so.
And what caller would
we're
you like?
We're going to go for caller five. And,
caller five.
And the winner is going to get a certificate for a artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
All right. Call us 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Be the fifth. Caller, play the game live on the air. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
Let's get ridiculous.
All right. Let's get ridiculous with Donna. Hey, Donna.
What's going on, Donna?
Hey,
how are
Thanks
you?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm good. I love your show.
Well, thank
Thanks,
you for calling
Donna.
In. We're glad to play with you. We're going to do a little Meryl Streep.
All right.
How's that
okay.
sound? All right.
We'll see if I stink or not.
Okay. Well,
you can't be worse than me.
That's okay. I'll leave that alone.
But I showered twice today, so
okay.
I don't stink too bad.
Okay. All right. Meryl Streep, number one. She has been published in two scientific journals. Is that real or ridiculous, Donna?
Real.
Real. Carl.
Yeah. Real.
It's ridiculous.
What?
Yep. Made that up.
Well,
she should have.
To her.
That's right. We'd read it if she wrote it, right? All right,
yeah.
Donna. She was born and raised in New Jersey. Is that real or ridiculous?
New Jersey. Toxic Avenger came from New Jersey.
Well, that won't help you here.
I need a lifeline here. Carl,
I'm
going to
say.
What do you think?
I'm going to say that's real.
Carl.
That's real.
Yeah.
All right. Good job. And one more.
Thank you, Carl.
Welcome, Donna.
Meryl Streep applied to trademark her name.
I'd say ridiculous. Well, wait a minute. They're Hollywood, though. Lifeline, Carl.
I'm going to say ridiculous.
I'll go with Carl.
You should not go with Carl.
Gosh.
It was real. She actually did. She paid a couple $1,000 to do that too.
That is completely...
Well, that one I did not make up, so that one's real.
That's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that.
I should.
Donna, what do you think?
Actually, my father's middle name was Meryl. So
you know,
that's what I was thinking.
You know what?
It's called the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, her birth name wasn't Meryl. I think it's like Margaret or something.
See, I don't have to worry about that because my name is like on every Italian menu in the world, Calamari.
Yeah, which is why you should trademark it.
Luckily, I have one R in there that saves me.
You know, I think people would be clamoring for your name, so you
clam
should
clam or
clamoring
or octopus.
Yeah, either one. But you know what?
You can even go with a girl, Carla.
Calamari.
Either way,
Carla. That's right, yeah. Calamari. That works too.
Yeah.
Donna, you are a winner. You have won a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, featuring the most ginormous selection of artificial trees, Christmas trees, and unique decorations anywhere. Congratulations. You will love your tree from Tree Time.
Way to go, Donna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling and playing tonight.
Right.
Or awesome. This morning.
All right, Donna. She's a big winner. Even though we got 2 out of 3 wrong.
You did.
Ugh.
Well, next hour, you have a chance to redeem yourself.
That's true. All right, well, we're going to listen to one of the best mystery series of the golden age of radio, premiered in 1942. The Whistler was sponsored by Signal Oil. And, you know, on this show, there was like a guy, he was sort of up on an omniscient perch, and he would tell the story of this criminal, and he could like sort of read his mind and talk to the criminal and talk to us, and they did it in a really interesting way. If you've ever heard these shows, they're really entertaining, and there was always an ironic twist at the end. You know, like you would follow the story and you thought this person was the murderer or this is how they're going to get away, but no, they don't get away. Really, on this show, they rarely got away with the crime. And it had a lot of radio's best supporting actors in the cast, like Jack Webb, Gerald Moore, Elliot Lewis, William Conrad. The best actors in radio were cast on The Whistler. There was nearly 700 episodes of this series. It ran from 1942 all the way to 1955, and there was a brief television series as well, plus 8 Columbia Pictures. They made some movies about The Whistler. So we have a Christmas show called The Christmas Gift from December 23rd, 1951, and this stars Betty Lou Gerson. Let's tune in to part one of The Whistler.
And now stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who is guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain. In the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, transcribed by the Signal Oil Company, to enable the entire production staff of The Whistler to spend the Christmas weekend at home with their families. Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline, invite you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler's strange story, Christmas Gift.
Christmas was only a few hours away, and Mary Winston couldn't help but marvel that its spirit could reach down and touch a cheap nightclub like Pete's Cantina on the outskirts of Panama City. Sitting alone at a table, she gazed at her tawdry surroundings. And then from the bar at the far end of the club came the strains of a Christmas melody, a melody which brought back memories of happier Christmas Eves. Yes, the Christmas spirit is undying, isn't it, Mary? You watch the strolling soloist, Sailor Reynolds, nod as he comes closer and passes your table. It's been 3 months now since you were hired as a singing hostess at Pete's Cantina. 3 months that you've been billed as Candy Porter with no one. Not even the proprietor knowing your real identity, Mary Winston. At long last, as Candy Porter, you seem to be safely away from your past. As the music ends, you look up, aware suddenly that Pete Gardinas, the rolling, heavy-set proprietor, is approaching your table.
Candy! Candy! Look, there is an American gentleman just came in. He wants to buy you some champagne. Champagne, you hear?
Please, I'm not in the mood tonight.
Look, kid, this looks like a big spender. If he wants to buy champagne...
All right, all right.
You turn and see the tall, heavy-set American approach and suddenly become tense. After a year of running away, you've learned to spot his kind in a moment, haven't you, Mary? You're certain he's a detective. And now you have to fight to remain calm as he approaches.
Sit down, Mr. Fonte. Sit down.
Sure you don't mind, Miss Porter?
Of course not.
Thanks. In that case, I will.
I'll go get the champagne. I keep him on ice. 11 years old, too.
Cigarette, Mr. Fontaine?
No, thanks.
You don't mind if I do?
Oh, no, of course not. Oh, here. Light?
Thanks.
Well, this is very unusual for me, spending the Christmas season so far away from home.
Mm-hmm. How come?
Business. Important business.
Couldn't it wait?
No. This business means a lot to the people I work for.
Yes, the bubble water? from Marseille, 13 years old.
You said 11.
That was from Le Havre. This is even better. Now I put him back in the ice. If you want some more, just call Pete. I've got more, just like him.
Well, I guess it's a few hours early to say Merry Christmas, Miss Porter. So I guess I'd better just say good luck. Huh?
Thanks. Yes, hoping you find whatever you came here for.
Oh, I've already found what I came for. You see, I came for you, Mary Winston.
Friends, to all of you who have opened your homes to the Whistler, not only throughout the year, but even tonight on this last busy weekend before Christmas, Signal Oil Company has asked me to express their sincere appreciation for this privilege and pleasure. And we of the cast want to add our thank you, too. During the 9 consecutive years that the Whistler has been broadcast by Signal Oil Company, many of us have celebrated Christmas with many of you a number of times. And believe me, we're mighty proud that you consider us a part of your entertainment family. Tonight, on behalf of Signal Oil Company and the independent Signal dealers who serve you in the states of California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah, I want to convey warmest season's greetings. May the many blessings of living in these United States of America enrich your holiday season and the new year.
It's ironic, isn't it, Mary? A sorry Christmas gift after all the months of hiding, running from one town and then another, using a different name in each place, but never your own, Mary Winston. These past 3 months, you've been known as Candy Porter, singing hostess in Pete's Cantina here in Panama City. And now this detective sitting across from you has called you by your real name, Mary Winston. And you can't run, can you, Mary? Facing Fontaine, you decide there's only one move you can make. That you've only one card left. But if you play it wisely, carefully, it might prove to be an ace.
You say you came here after me, Mr. Fontaine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you mean.
I think you do. And if I were you, I'd be ready to leave for Los Angeles in the morning, Miss Winston.
Like the billing says, my name is Candy Porter.
I know what the billing says. I know what it said in Brooklyn when you were billed as Doris Trent. In Denver, when you were billed as Gladys James. But when you took a powder out of Los Angeles a year ago, you were Mary Winston.
You know, it's strange you're mentioning Mary Winston. I was even thinking about her when you came in. A lot of other people have mistaken me for Mary Winston. We could have passed for twin sisters. She was my best friend. I could tell you a lot about her if you feel like listening.
Sure, sure. I'll listen. Go ahead and talk if it'll make you feel any better. We can't get away until tomorrow morning anyway. The more you tell now, the less you'll have to tell later.
Thanks. You see, Mr. Fontaine, Mary Winston was just a good kid who got a bad break. She was in love with a swell guy, but scared to death of a hoodlum. It's an unusual story, Mr. Fontaine.
It was an unusual story, wasn't it, Mary? It began a year ago at a Christmas party given by your employers, the Southwestern Manufacturing Company, in the pink room of the Swank Wilchester Hotel. And you were the hit of the evening. You sang three songs and went over big. Your friends from the office hadn't known of your talent, but they all agreed you were fine, and when the party was over, you were feeling good. So good, you decided to drop into the hotel cocktail lounge, make a phone call or two, and have a nightcap by yourself before going home. When you finished your phoning, you walked to a vacant stool at the bar.
Scotch and soda.
Make mine the same, Bill.
Gotcha.
I heard you sing tonight. You were terrific.
Thanks.
What's the matter? Did he stand you up?
Who?
The guy you were just talking to on the phone. No. I guess he didn't stand you up.
Didn't he?
He's on his way here right now. Lucky guy.
Here you are, folks.
Take it out of here, Bill.
$1.80 out of 10.
Well, now look here, Mr.
Take it easy. It's practically Christmas. What's the harm in my buying you one drink? Like I said, I liked your voice, Miss Winston. Thank you, Bill.
You a detective or a mind reader?
Oh, you mean your name?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't any trick to find that out. I just asked one of the boys I saw dancing with you. My name's Joe Collins. I see you've never heard of me.
Should I have? Oh, now I get it. You're a professional talent scout and want to get me into the movies.
Nope. I'm a gambler. Disapproved?
Why? Live and let live is my motto, and that's exactly what I'm going to do right now.
What?
Live my life and let you live yours. Good night, Mr. Collins. Just think, I can tell the girls at the office tomorrow I met a real live gambler.
Wait a minute. You could tell them a lot more than that if you believed in your voice as much as I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You've heard of Domingo's out on Sunset, haven't you?
It's an undercover gambling club, isn't it?
It's more than a gambling club. There's a swell floor show. A lot of big people go out there, people that count.
And all intimate friends of yours, I'm sure.
No, but I know quite a few. Some who could push you right to the top with that voice of yours.
Mr. Collins, this is the oldest line I ever heard.
It's not a line, but skip it. Go on home, listen to the radio, eat candy, you can have a terrific time. If you go to Domingo's with me, you can't tell what might happen. You might have to meet a couple of show producers, maybe even sing. So, play it safe. Go on home. Maybe dull, but you'll always get to work on time.
Is that all you have to say?
Yeah, that's all. Except, nighty-night.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Could we be back early?
We'll leave any time you say.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Well, now you're making sense. I'll call a cab.
Well, never mind. I have a car. It's parked right around the corner.
Joe Collins used just the right approach, didn't he, Mary? You realized you were being a fool. But as the hours passed, you told yourself your fears were groundless. Joe treated you with perfect courtesy, introduced you to several people, including the producer of the floor show. You even sang a number which was well received. Later, you watched the gambling for a while and then proceeded to the Silver Room to enjoy the second floor show. Afterwards, you had supper in the main dining room and watched the guests dancing.
Joe.
Then suddenly, you've had enough.
Joe, do you mind if we leave now?
I said we'd leave any time you said. What hit you, the music?
I guess that's it.
Another guy?
Another guy. My fiancé, Dr. Frank Wilson.
What happened to Dr. Wilson?
He's in Korea.
Marines?
No, Army doctor. It was his car we drove out here in.
Ah, that's too bad. We could have had a lot of fun. Well, shall we go?
Please.
That's the first portion of The Whistler with Christmas Gift starring Betty Lou Gerson. That's also William Conrad there playing Phil Collins. That's his name.
Phil Collins.
but we won't play any Phil Collins music, I promise. We'll get back to The Whistler in just a few minutes. And if you don't want CDs mailed to your home, Lisa, you want to save the shipping and handling and pay less money to be part of the Classic Radio Club, you can join and use the digital option now. You can have them digitally emailed to you along with a PDF of all of the liner notes that I write. Just go to classicradioclub.com. There's two ways to join the club now. You can get the CD sent to you every month, or you can get a digital download emailed to you. So much more convenient.
Very technologically forward for
you,
Carl.
Tell you what, I told you. You know, our listeners were saying, hey, I'd love to join the club, but you know, I really don't want CDs. I'd rather have it electronically sent to me that I can put them on my iPhone or whatever they want to do. Now, I personally, I like the CDs. I like having CDs. But, you know, there are people that like to have the digital downloads. So we have two ways now. Just go to classicradioclub.com. Learn all about it. Let's ban this song, too.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Well, you know, Dean Martin used to drink on his TV show, so maybe we should ban all his music, too.
Somebody brought up a point. I can't take the credit for it. They said maybe they're going to ban Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because he was bullied. Rudolph was being bullied, so and that's just not politically correct. So we'll leave it at that so we don't start arguing with our listeners.
Maybe Carl can have a red nose and take Rudolph's place and give everybody else what for, all those other reindeer.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, and maybe
if Carl was a reindeer, Roger, he would be Rudolph.
What do you mean I can't play any games?
What do you mean you don't want to play with me?
I got games for you.
Oh, my gosh, it's funny.
Well, we are going to get back to Whistler, and later in the hour, I'm going to read some of the taxes we have. So we have some really interesting ideas and thoughts on both sides, so I want to share those with everyone.
All right, but right now, the conclusion to The Whistler.
Hop in, unless you want me to drive.
No, I'll drive.
Good. We'll probably be safer that way.
As you drove toward your little apartment on Clinton Avenue, you were glad your reckless little adventure was nearing its end. Everything had been fine so far, but you couldn't throw off a feeling of uneasiness. For a few miles, Joe said little, and then he seemed preoccupied, and you were relieved when he finally broke his strange silence.
Say, Mary, would you mind stopping for a minute at that drive-in? All of a sudden, I got an awful headache. Maybe I can get some aspirin there, huh?
I doubt it, but we'll give it a try.
You can keep the motor running while I'm gone, huh? I'll only be gone a few seconds.
Okay.
Get going.
Joe, you shot him.
I said get going fast. There's a gun in your ribs, baby. You just saw what happened to one guy that crossed me.
Did you kill him?
I don't know.
You... Oh, why was I such a fool?
Turn right at the next corner. A car's been tailing us for the last 5 minutes.
I'm glad. I hope it's a prowl car. It'll save me the trouble of phoning the police.
I said turn. He didn't turn, baby. You know, you shouldn't have said what you did about phoning the cops. Nobody but me and you knows about that drive-in job. You just better pull over and park. We got a couple of things to talk over. I said pull over.
Please, Joe. Joe, don't kill me. I know you can do it easy, but I'll never tell about tonight.
That's the way you feel now. An hour from now, you'll feel different.
Oh, no, I won't. On my word of honor, I'll make a deal with you, Joe. I'll trade you my silence for my life. I swear I won't talk about it ever.
You sound like you really mean that.
Oh, I do mean it, Joe. I swear it. I swear it.
You swear it, huh?
Yes, Joe. I swear it.
Well, I'm not being very smart, but I'm going to take a chance. You drove the getaway car, so I guess that makes us partners anyway. Yeah. You know, partner, we ought to have a lot of fun together. Now, how about dropping me off at my place, huh?
Tell me where to go.
Live about 6 blocks from here. Just turn to the right of me.
After you dropped Joe and reached your apartment, you were so weak you could hardly stand. You literally fell into bed. You tried to sleep, but sleep was impossible. Early the following morning, you heard the newsboy shoving the morning paper under your apartment door. You hurried across the room and looked at the front page. The headlines and stories sickened you.
Drive-in manager shot in attempted holdup. Dies. Unidentified man and woman seen fleeing from scene of crime in dark green 49 model sedan. Pedestrian believes he can identify car.
There it was, Mary. Your situation looked hopeless, didn't it? You felt you must keep your word to Joe Collins, but you knew you must never see him again. Only one avenue seemed open to you. You had to leave town, disappear. You dressed hurriedly, packed a few belongings, withdrew your savings from the bank, and by noon, were on an eastbound plane for New York. You decided to take advantage of your voice and become a professional entertainer. The first few weeks, you auditioned almost daily with negative results. But finally, after 3 months, you were singing at the Golden Lion, a prosperous little nightclub in Brooklyn, New York. After a shaky start, you became a featured performer under the name of Doris Trent. As the weeks went by, your work improved. You became sure of yourself. And one night you noticed Vern Shields, famous musical comedy producer, in the audience. His presence seemed to inspire you, and you went over better than ever. Afterwards, in your dressing room, you wondered what he thought of your voice. You were certain that your visitor was Vern Shields. Weren't you, Mary?
Come in.
Oh. Well, long time no see, Miss Trent. Doris Trent, it says on the program.
Joe!
I'm surprised you recognized me. I thought you'd forgotten me.
All right, Joe, you found me. Now, what's on your mind?
You double-crossed me, baby.
Well, you're crazy. That's why I left town, so I wouldn't even have to talk to anybody.
You wrote the police, though, didn't you?
Oh, you're wrong, Joe. I didn't write to anybody.
It had to be you. It couldn't have been anybody else. 2 days after you left, they picked me up for questioning.
But it wasn't me. I've kept my word with you, Joe.
Yeah? Well, there's one way you can convince me.
How?
Marry me. Tonight.
Marry you?
Mm-hmm. That way I'll be sure of you. Wives can't testify against their husbands. Besides, I'll know what you're doing all the time.
Look, Joe, I gotta do my show. Let's talk this over in the morning.
Tonight. We're going up to Connecticut. But go ahead and do your show. Only if you've got any ideas about calling the cops, don't forget you drove the getaway car. And in case anything happens to me, there's a written confession in my pocket telling exactly how you helped me pull the job. Now we use your boyfriend's car. You kept the motor running, waiting for me.
You've thought of everything, haven't you?
Everything, so don't try anything. Now go ahead and do your show. I'll wait for you here.
You started down the hallway, turned toward the powder room off stage. Suddenly you realized what a fool you'd been. But you made up your mind not to keep on being a fool, didn't you, Mary? Not with that wall telephone just 5 steps ahead of you.
Operator, get me police headquarters and hurry.
Better hang up quick, baby. I mean, quick. I had a hunch you'd try to double-cross me. Now I know for sure who wrote that note to the cops.
Oh, didn't you? Honest, I didn't.
You just tried to call him, didn't you? All of a sudden, I've lost interest in getting married. We're just going to take a little ride. Now, come on, baby.
No. No, Joe, I'm not moving a foot. Not an inch. You let go of my arm!
Hey, what's going on here? Something wrong, Doris? This guy bothering you?
Yes, he is. He wants to date me.
Tell him to leave, will you, Eddie?
Well, maybe I better take him into the office and call the cops.
No thanks, Eddie. There's no need for that. He's just another wolf. Tell him to leave. That's good enough.
You heard what the lady said, Bob. Start traveling.
Okay, Pop, anything you say. I'll see the lady later. I'll be parked right across the street, Miss Trent.
You should have let me call the cops.
I would have, if he hadn't had you covered with a gun.
Oh, I see. Gee, thanks, kid. I guess you saved my life.
Skip it. Look, Eddie, I gotta get out of town, and fast.
After what you just did for me, getting you out of town is a cinch. Grab some clothes while I phone my wife and bring you home. We'll go out the rear entrance. My car's on the lot next door. Tomorrow I'll call a friend of mine in Denver. He'll put you to work right away. You better change your name, though.
That'll be easy. I'm getting used to it. So, Mr. Fontaine, that's where I met Mary Winston. In Denver, at the hi-hat club, billed as Gladys James. She was there for quite a while, room with me. Then she left, just like that, one night. When a waiter told her some guy wanted to interview her for a magazine, she figured it was Joe Collins again. That's the last I ever saw of her.
That's the end of the story?
That's the end.
And Mary Winston told you all this?
Well, we were close friends.
I'll say you were.
You don't believe me, do you?
If you were in my position, would you believe a story like that?
No, I don't suppose I would.
Well, Mary, it looks as though you've lost, doesn't it? That your show wasn't good enough. The man across the table, the detective you're certain has come to take you back to Los Angeles, to stand trial for a murder you had nothing to do with, doesn't believe you. You're certain, too, that the jury in Los Angeles won't believe you, not after you're running away, your phony names, your present surroundings. You're sure Joe Collins has been captured, that the authorities have read his confession, that he's trumped your last card, ruin forever your hopes of eventual reunion with the man you still love, Dr. Frank Wilson. Yes, Mary, it looks as though you've lost, but you're going to play the game through to the end anyhow. White Christmas. If Sailor Reynolds knew what that song did to you, the memories it brings back, he'd play something else, wouldn't he, Mary? As Fontaine gazes into space and drums his fingers silently on the table, you watch him closely, await his next words.
How long did you say you'd been here?
I didn't say, but I got here about 3 months ago.
You like it here?
No.
That's what I figured. Hey, look, Miss...
Cigarette, Mr. Fontaine?
Yeah, thanks.
Light?
Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Miss Porter.
Did you say Porter?
Not that you said your name was, didn't you? That's what the billing says, too, isn't it?
You mean you believe me?
You sounded straight to me. Well, it looks as though I came a long way for nothing, doesn't it? Still, I'm kind of glad I came. I always figured that confession they found on Joe Collins' body was a phony.
Joe Collins? Joe Collins dead?
Yeah. The Brooklyn police got him one night about 5 months ago. A woman called the police from a little nightclub, the Golden Lion Club. She hung up before they answered the phone, but the Brooklyn boys decided to investigate anyway. One of them spotted Collins in a car parked across the street. He got trigger happy, and that was that.
No Collins. Then.
Right. Well, Miss Porter, if you ever run into Mary Winston...
I'll tell her all about the Christmas gift I got from this swell detective named Fontaine.
No, I'm just a private detective, Miss Porter. But the police gave me the tip that you... Mary Winston might be working here.
Oh, then they knew...
A man named Wilson hired me for the case. A Dr. Frank Wilson.
Frank Wilson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's out of the Army now. Still very much in love with Mary Winston. Doesn't care where she's been. Just wants her to come back and marry him.
He must be quite a guy.
Yeah, he's okay. Now, incidentally, do you think you'll ever see Miss Winston again?
Yes, I do.
Well, do you think she might come back to Los Angeles sometime and clear things up with the police? Make the doctor happy?
I'm sure she will. Someday. You see, a girl like Mary gets to feel a little soiled after working around joints like this. She'll probably want to spend a year or so in cleaner surroundings. Maybe out in the desert. Sort of freshening up before going home. Seeing anyone she cared about.
Yeah. From what you said, I expect she would. Well, I might as well be getting along. Merry Christmas, Miss Porter. Happy New Year.
That whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Signal Oil Company has asked me to remind you, there's an easy way we can all help to make this holiday season happier for ourselves and others. Drive at sensible speeds, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life, possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman as the Whistler, Betty Lou Gerson, Bill Conrad, Bill Boucher, Marvin Miller, and Brett Wood on the harmonica. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Ed Bloodworth, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transcribed and transmitted overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler was entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Remember to tune in at this same time next Sunday when the Signal Oil Company will bring you another strange story by The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company. Stay tuned now for Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
All right, that is The Whistler with The Christmas Gift from December 23rd, 1951, starring Betty Lou Gerson. Also, William Conrad playing the role of Phil Collins in that radio show. That was heard on CBS, originally sponsored by Signal Oil. Hope you enjoyed that. We're going to play some commercials, come back, and read some of the texts regarding Baby, It's Cold Outside, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the controversy.
Maybe I should sing the guy part and you sing the girl part and we'll just do it live.
Yeah, well, according to some people, I would need a restraining order against you if
That's
I did that.
That's true. All right, we'll be right back. Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske will be here tomorrow, Lisa. So I think they're going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride cat litter for one of our listeners. So, folks, you still have time. You should do it tonight or do it tomorrow. Send in a picture of your kitty cat along with your cat's name and your name, your city and state. Just send that picture in to us at catspridephoto@gmail.com, and you will be entered to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride cat litter. Somebody wins every single month.
Right, and if you've already sent it before, send it again, because each month we renew our ballot. So we hope that you'll send it in again each month.
All right, so a little earlier we played the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, Ricardo Montalban. The plane. Remember a little, what was his name? Tattoo or something
Tattoo,
like that?
Tattoo,
Was it Tattoo?
Yeah, that's it.
He was, Ricardo Montalban was on Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island. I was going to say Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, that was an interesting
show.
That
was
I used to,
right after Love Boat, it went Love Boat and then Fantasy Island.
I got to tell you, that was, for the time, really an interesting program. You know, you'd go on this fantasy island and you'd be able to have a fantasy come true.
That's the name.
Very good. I like that. It was quite an interesting concept.
It was a big Saturday night to watch it from 8 o'clock was Love Boat and 9 o'clock was Fantasy Island.
You even remember the time?
I do.
You were in your bedroom with the orange, did you have
the
orange carpet?
The carpet was green.
Oh, it was green?
But no, I wasn't in my bedroom.
At shag carpeting.
We all had shag back in the 70s.
Yeah, shag carpeting. And then I had a telephone with a really long curly cord, and it was a rotary dial. Kids today are like,
I had a rotary dial. I know.
Like rotary.
I used to call radio stations with my rotary dial phone.
Yeah.
You could only go so fast.
No. And then if you hit the wrong thing, you're like,
you have to start
all over. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Well, we played Baby It's Cold Outside.
And I want to say that ever since we played it, Carl and I cannot stop singing it.
It's like in my head, yeah.
We just can't stop. So it's very catchy.
Yeah. I can't get it out of my head.
Different song.
I'll be singing that one now.
Different song.
So that we've had quite a few. I mean, like probably 50, 60 texts.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
So as far as the texts are, very interesting. A lot of people have a lot of perspectives and a lot of thoughts that I didn't consider.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them feel that the song is fine and people in this day and age are too sensitive and too have to be too politically correct. And but there are, you know, a handful also of people that say, look, check out the lyrics. For example, one said, look, one of the lyrics that when they listen carefully is what's in this drink. So the question is not what is the drink, but what is in the drink. And so there are people that think that that the guy was being pushy. Some people said he's being opportunistic. Some people said, I had a person who said that if a guy said those words to me, I'd get a restraining order on him.
Yeah.
So there are all sorts of opinions out there.
You know, I mean, if you watch the movie that it was in, I think that movie won an Academy Award too.
Yep.
If you watch the movie, I don't know the name of the movie.
I can't remember
right now. We'll figure that out and we'll get back to you on that. But if you watch the movie, it's Ricardo Montalban and it's Esther Williams.
Right.
And talk about a fish out of water. She was always
exactly.
But Esther Williams is in that movie with him, and she looks beautiful, and he looks great. I mean, he doesn't have white hair in it. He has dark, dark, dark hair.
But if you actually watch that scene.
If you watch it, here's what's happening. Okay, they're in an apartment, and it's snowing,
And it's cold
outside. They're obviously boyfriend and girlfriend. They definitely like each other.
Yeah, they're very touchy. They sort of dance.
Feeling,
you know, it's kind of
dancing.
A little flirtatious dance
and
that they do.
And the thing is, he wants her to stay. I mean, come on. You know, he's a young guy. She's a beautiful girl. He wants her to stay. But she's not so much worried about problems with him. She's more worried about what's her dad or her brother? I guess she lives
at home.
They talk
about her brother, her sister. What would they think in this day and age if she came home so late?
She's not afraid of the guy.
Well, that's your take on it.
I mean, she's clearly not afraid of the guy. She's dancing with him, giggling, laughing.
No.
Saying, I'll stick around a little longer.
No, I get it.
They're boyfriend and girlfriend, I think.
No, I agree with you, but in this movie, but your take on she's not afraid of him. She's not afraid of him, but you know, some of the words are, you know, aggressive.
Right.
And she's, you know, silly and flirtatious right back to him.
Right.
So, you know, interesting controversy. One of the stations in Cleveland took the other approach and instead of banning the song, played all 7 versions of that song in a row.
Right.
So sort of the other way, which is something that I would do because it kind of stirs up a little controversy.
Well, you got to remember, this song was written in 1944. It was written by a husband and wife.
Yes.
And they used to sing the song at parties.
Right, as a husband and a wife.
Yeah,
so that was the, you know,
song.
It was like a cat and mouse, a little, you know, song and dance for a married couple.
And then he sold it in like 1949. And then they used it in the movie. It was used, and I saw Red Skelton and somebody else doing it also in another
Michael
movie.
Michael Bublé sang it. Dolly Parton sang it. It was an elf.
Yeah, it was an elf. Anyway, so thanks for all your texts, folks.
We do appreciate, you know, reading everybody's perspective. We really do.
Most people, overwhelmingly, I would say, said,
oh, definitely.
Don't
Definitely.
Don't ban it. But there was some really, really interesting stuff. So we appreciate that. It's always fun to connect with our listeners and what they're thinking. All right. We have another hour of classic radio. We're going to tune in to The Great Gildersleeve, a Christmas show from 1947. Yes, Lisa?
Yes, and stay tuned because we are going to be giving away a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers for our Real or Ridiculous segment. So
that's
we hope you listen
in. Next hour.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish. Okay, it is hour three. Thanks for staying up late with us here on the WGN Radio Theater, where we're here every Saturday and Sunday night playing all your favorite classic radio shows. The Shadow, Jack Benny, Boston Blackie, Suspense, The Whistler, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, My Favorite Husband, you name it, Lisa.
How about The Great Gildersleeve?
Yeah, we have that in this hour. And, you know, we started our Christmas programming yesterday.
Yes.
On Saturday. We will have Christmas programming all the way until Christmas. Although
through the whole month, I think, right?
Yeah,
in December.
That's right. Yeah, we have that for you coming up. So Gildersleeve, Christmas shopping. He's out there shopping away. That is coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, we're going to play our game, right?
Really Ridiculous. The celebrity is Cary Grant.
Yeah, and this is all brought to you by Cats Pride. Cary Grant. I, of course, know who Cary Grant is.
Good.
Yes, Judy.
And,
my name is Cary Grant.
I know. Sorry. You're done?
Yeah.
Okay. The prize is going to be a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating
desktop
and Cooling.
Indoor weather station.
There you go.
Yeah.
I almost didn't do it just because of that, but
yeah. All right, so what caller do you want?
Oh, we're going to go with caller four.
Caller four, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Call now, and you know what's going to happen if you call right now?
We'll put you on the air.
You'll get to play the game with us. Call right now, and we'll be right back. All righty, Lisa. I think I have a live read. Do I have a live read? No, I don't think so. So we can go right into our music.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right, we're going to do it with Gail. Hey, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Gail.
Oh, I'm doing great. Hi, how are you guys?
Great,
good.
How are
we're
you?
So glad you're going to play with us. You know a little bit about Cary Grant?
Not really, but I'll try.
All right, well, we'll see if we can learn something together. You ready, Carl?
Yes.
You look a little discombobulated over there.
I'm very discombobulated.
Okay, I guess that's just the way things are. All right, guys, ready? Number one, his dad was an assassin. Is that real or ridiculous?
His dad was an assassin. Oh, come on. No way.
I should hope not. I'll say ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Look at the way you're looking at me. Okay, number two. Cary Grant is a member of the High IQ Mensa Society. Real or ridiculous?
Oh, I'm going to say real.
I'll say ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Okay, one more. As a teenager, he traveled with a circus. Is that real or ridiculous?
Sort of like you did.
Like me. Real.
Yeah, Lisa did too.
She
was in the freak show.
And here I am still in the freak show.
There we go. She was a juggler in the freak show.
I wish I could juggle. Unfortunately, that's not one of my skills. I have them, but that's not one.
That's not one of
Can't
them.
Can't do
huh?
it.
All right. What are your skills?
I have other
besides
skills.
Besides being fantastic on the radio.
Do you really want me to go through them?
We would be on the air too long.
Way too long.
Way past
It's a long list.
Okay.
Carl,
so
we're
Gail,
waiting for your
did you
answer.
Say, she said real, right?
As a teenager, Gail? He traveled with a circus.
I agree. Real.
It is ridiculous.
What?
All three were ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I didn't do very good.
You know what, though? It doesn't make any difference because you're a winner and you get a desktop indoor weather station, a highly coveted WGN prize. Everybody wants one. Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC.
Thank you very much. It was very much fun.
Thank you.
Oh,
it was fun
great
playing
having
with
you.
You.
Merry Christmas, Gail. All right. So, Lisa, you were tricky. Very
I am tricky.
Tricky.
We had
All
three ridiculouses.
Wow. You are very tricky.
I know.
All right, so you want to listen to The Great Gildersleeve?
I sure do.
All right, this is a broadcast from December 10th, 1947. So like a couple weeks before Christmas, and he is Christmas shopping. Let's tune in. Help Harry now, part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Food Company presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. Well, all is quiet in the Gildersleeve household on this December evening. The family has just finished dinner, and the great man is in his den, resting his overstuffed figure in his overstuffed chair. His eyes are closing drowsily, when suddenly he sits up with a start. He's made a great discovery.
Say, Christmas is coming. And I haven't done my shopping yet. Well, by George, I'm not going to wait till the last minute this year. I'm going to do my shopping early. Tomorrow.
Leroy! Marjorie!
What's the matter, Uncle? You got indigestion again? Shall I get the baking soda?
No, no, I feel fine.
Then what's the matter?
Children, Christmas is coming.
Huh? Everybody knows that.
Well, anyhow, I've decided to do my shopping early this year, tomorrow.
You call this early? I started in November.
Well, I...
Oh, for corn's sake, Uncle, didn't you get my model airplane yet?
Leroy, nobody said you were getting a model airplane, for sure. That's up to Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? Are you kidding?
No, my boy. You mustn't scoff at things like that. As long as we have the spirit of Christmas, there'll always be a Santa Claus.
You said it, Unc.
Remember that.
Sure. Unc.
Yes, my boy?
Santa Claus better get off the diamond and get that model airplane before they're all gone.
Leroy.
Well, if that's all you wanted, I've got to finish addressing my Christmas card.
I'm going shopping tomorrow. Better make out a list. That's the efficient thing to do. Let's see now. There's a pencil. I'll need some... Leroy, you may leave the room.
Want me to help you make out your list, Unc?
That won't be necessary.
Of course, no trouble. Glad to do it.
No, thank you.
Well, maybe you could put down the airplane first. It starts with A.
Leroy, I don't...
They got some swell ones down at Hogan Brothers Department Store with gas motors. I've been down there trying them out all week. You know the kind I mean, huh, Unc?
Leroy, leave the room.
Okay, Unc, anything you say. But don't forget, the one with the gas motor.
Glad Christmas only comes once a year. Well, it is kind of nice of that. Well, I'll start my list with Judge Hooker. Let's see, I ought to get the judge something nice. I don't know, though. The old cheapskate never gets me much. Judge Hooker. One necktie, $1. There, that takes care of him. Now I'll write down for Marjorie. If I were a girl of 16, what would I want? Let's see. Funny, all I can think of is cigars.
Excuse me. Oh, I didn't know you were busy. Excuse me.
All right, Bertie, what is it?
Just got one cup of coffee left, and I thought I'd see if you want it before I dump it out.
Yeah, no thanks, Bertie. Too busy making out my Christmas list.
Oh.
Yep, doing my shopping tomorrow. You ought to do the same, Bertie. Don't put it off till the last minute.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, Mr. Gildersleeve. I did all my shopping 6 weeks ago.
Oh.
Got all my presents wrapped, sealed, and ready to deliver. I'm through.
I see.
Yes, sir. I ain't no put it off. I'm going to do it now. I'm through.
Yes, Bertie.
Some people put things off, but not Bertie. I'm going to do it now.
Bertie, I didn't say...
Yes, sir. I ain't no put it off.
Please forget I mentioned it.
You can wait till the last moment if you want to, but not me. I'm through. I'm going to do it now.
Yes, indeed. Let's see here now. Bertie, handbag. Leroy, model airplane. Marjorie. Well, got the whole afternoon ahead of me. Got my list all made out. Nothing to it. Don't see why everybody makes such a fuss about Christmas shopping. Well, look at that Hogan Brothers window. Santa's workshop. Pretty cute, all right. All those little fellows busy making toys. Wonder how they get them to move like that. Yeah. After you, madam. Pretty crowded in here.
Because everybody's doing their Christmas shopping early.
Mr. Mastley?
Jingle bell. Christmas carols over the loudspeaker. Oh, that's nice. Ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Wonder where I should start first. Let's see. Where's my list?
Oh, Floorwalkers.
Huh?
Floorwalkers, where's the notions department?
Why, I don't know. You see, I...
Christmas help. They never know anything.
Floorwalker. Guess I should have worn my hat. let's see. I'll look for Bertie's present first.
Hi, Unc.
Leroy.
Well, I see you got here all right. Toy department's on the fourth floor. Elevator's right over there.
I know that, Leroy.
I'd get right up there, Unc, before those model airplanes are all gone. Come on, I'll go with you.
Leroy, I didn't say I was going to get you a model airplane.
Oh,
Unc. Well, we'll see. Now run along. Go home and play with Piggy or something.
Oh, Piggy's down here, too. We're playing tag on the escalator.
Oh, my goodness.
See you later, Unc. And don't forget... the one with the gas motor.
That kid never lets me surprise him. Well, guess I'll go up and get him that model airplane now. Hey, there's the handbag table. Might as well get pretty. Too many women around here. I'll come back later. Take your life in your hands. There's the necktie counter. No crowd over there. Good time to get a hooker's necktie. Let's see. Where are the cheap ones? Down here. They look pretty awful. Well, they're good enough for the judge. I'll get him this one with the peppermint stripes. Make him look like a walking barber pole.
Well, hello, Gildy.
Hooker.
Kind of a spendthrift, aren't you, Gildy, buying a dollar tie?
Well,
Christmas gift, I presume. Who's the unlucky person?
Well...
he'd have to be an awful fathead to wear a tie like that.
He is.
It'd look good on you, Gildy.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Judge.
Wait a minute, Piggy, there's my uncle. Hey,
Unc.
Leroy. Leroy.
Hello. Unc, what are you doing down here? Didn't you go see about my model airplane yet?
Leroy, I told you.
They're going to be all gone.
If you don't go away and quit bothering me, Leroy, I won't get you anything.
Oh, okay, Unc, forget I mentioned it. Only kidding. Later.
Gildy, aren't you going to get the boy his airplane?
Of course I am, but I don't want him to know it.
Well, why don't you go out and get it now? I'll go with you.
Well, all right, Judge.
I believe it's on the fourth floor. Toyland.
I know.
Toyland, Toyland.
What?
Dear little girl and boyland.
Oh, brother, come on, Judge. You know, Judge, being up here takes me back to my own childhood. I used to love Christmas.
Yes, Gildy. I think I see the model airplanes right over there.
Oh, look at these toy soldiers. I used to have a set of these when I was a kid. Fought some big battles on our kitchen floor.
Well, you're not a kid anymore, Gildy.
Hey, that electric train's a beauty. Look. We're going to go over that bridge. Just like a real one.
Gildy, we're up here to buy something for Leroy.
Watch this, Judge. I'll throw the switch and make her go through the tunnel. You see it? There she goes. Clear the tracks. Here comes the Cannonball Express. Toot, 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 toot.
Gildy, why don't you grow up?
Look at it, Judge. This is...
Now look what you did, Gildy. It jumped the track.
I know it. Hurry up, Leroy. Horse. Help me put it back.
Can I help you two children?
Sorry, train went off the track. I'll put it back.
Don't bother.
I'll put it back. Butterfingers. I was looking for something for Leroy. That's my little nephew.
A model airplane.
Model airplane. Just follow me.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve and Judge Hooker.
Mrs. Dalrymple.
Why, good afternoon.
Gentlemen, are you coming?
In just a minute, clerk.
I never expected to find you two up here in Toyland. Now, isn't that cute?
Well, the judge came up, too.
Oh, you men, you never grow up. You're all big, lovable boys. I've been shopping all day, and I'm simply exhausted.
Oh, you poor thing.
Why, that's a shame.
Oh, it's all right. Buying Christmas presents is really lots of fun. And I don't mind carrying all these heavy packages.
Could I carry them for you, Mrs. Dalrymple?
No, let me carry them.
Oh, I wouldn't want to put you gentlemen to any trouble.
What, no trouble. I would deem it a pleasure.
Step out of the way, Judge. I'm stronger than you are.
I'll carry them, Gildy.
I'll carry them. You're too old.
You're too fat.
I'll Indian wrestle you for it.
Well, how about flipping a coin?
Coward.
Fatty face.
Now, please don't quarrel over me. I know. We'll decide it this way. Whoever my finger points to last, my mother told me to take this one. It's you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Shucks. I get to carry the packages. Here, let me take them.
All righty.
They are a little heavy.
Gilder.
What?
What about Leroy's airplane?
Well, I'll be back in a minute, Judge. Shall I take these downstairs for you, Mrs. Dalrymple?
Yes, thank you. Oh, I just remembered. I would like to get one more thing.
You would?
Yes, I forgot to get a salad bowl for Cousin Effie. They're up on the sixth floor.
They are.
You don't mind, do you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, I don't mind.
I'll just put this salad bowl under your arm.
Oh, is that my arm?
There. Is that all right?
Fine. Well, I guess we're ready to go.
Yes. Oh, well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I just thought of something else.
What's that?
I didn't get a birdcage for George.
Oh, yeah. Must get a birdcage.
They're down on the third floor. You don't mind, do you?
No, I don't mind.
This birdcage can go on top of the other bundles. There. Are you comfy under there, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, very comfy, but I can't see.
Well, that's all right. You just follow me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I just remembered something else. It's up on the seventh floor.
Up on the... Zook. Zeep. Zoink.
Well, now I'm finished.
So am I.
Isn't Christmas shopping fun?
Mrs. Dalrymple, can I take these packages out of your car now?
Didn't I tell you? I don't have my car. I was hoping that you'd drive me home.
Well, I wanted to.
Oh, thank you.
But...
I think you're just peachy.
But...
Hiya!
Leroy!
Gee, I didn't recognize you behind all those packages. Lucky I saw your stomach sticking out.
Yes.
Gosh, did you buy all that stuff already?
Well,
I'll bet my model airplane's in there, huh?
Leroy,
Gee, you're swell. I'm best uncle a fella ever had.
Leroy, these aren't my packages. They're Mrs. Dalrymple's.
What?
You see, I started...
Then you're not going to get my model airplane?
Leroy, I didn't Leroy, please.
You don't have to get it. I don't care.
Leroy. Leroy, don't cry, Leroy.
Don't run away from home.
Christmas.
I think we should ban jingle bells too, because ornaments feel left out.
What
if
are
the
you
bells
talking about?
Get all the. To get all the attention.
Okay, now you've gone too far.
I'm telling you.
Now you got to get rid of the silver bells.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of the jingle bells.
I know.
Why don't you just get rid of all bells? I think that's not nice.
I think we should ban bells.
Ban the bells.
I think they are going to come after you.
You know what? They banned bell bottoms for a while there.
No, people just couldn't wear them.
Not allowed to wear bell bottoms.
I just want to make a quick mention, you know, for our Real or Ridiculous. I said that Cary Grant as a teenager traveled with a circus, and I completely made that up. But some sites mentioned that he did travel with a circus at some point. I don't know. I can't find it right
now. I think
he did.
And I know Burt Lancaster did, too.
You know what? It said he was a part of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey circus tour. So that was just a pure coincidence. So I apologize to Gail, who was on the phone. She did get one right.
Gail, you got one right.
That was actually true.
And I was right on that one, too, because I said he did.
Well, we're talking about Gail here. And he did travel with the circus for a brief time, so we're going to say that.
He wore his briefs?
He did. And so she actually is a winner, even though she was already a winner. She's a double winner.
I, you know, when you said it, I was like,
really?
Even Roger said the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, Yeah, I think he did travel with the circus.
And he did. So there you go. I have corrected my mistake.
Wait, you made one mistake in 1977,
you know,
and now one in
2018. The coincidence here is that I made that up. So I don't know. That just happened to be.
It's pretty strange.
Once in a while.
I know.
It's actually true.
It's gonna happen.
Then again, there's Carl's circus.
This, and you know what? The circus
people
in the studio
circus.
Right here. This is a circus.
A lot of clowns, sir.
Here's a word from Steve Cochran.
It's time again to celebrate another Cochran New Year's Eve. We start the show.
Let's ban this
7
song, too.
After 9 o'clock, we leave.
Come celebrate Steve Cochran's 18th annual New Year's Eve show at the beautiful, historic Tivoli Theater in downtown Downers Grove. Doors open at 6, the show starts at 7, and ends at 9. For people who can't stay up till midnight, come join Steve Cochran, WGN-TV's Dean Richards, Tonight Show comedian Rocky Laporte, Cochran Show musical director John DeCoste, and me, your announcer, Tim Benker. Go online to eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com.
Did you get an invitation to this, Lisa? Because I haven't yet.
No, but I was wondering if you could name that song. Carl, can you tell me the name of that song? That one.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I know it, but you're putting me on the spot now.
I know. I like to do and that.
It's old like you.
I know. Well, stop. Stop right there. I wanted Carl to pronounce it because I wanted to laugh.
Old Lang Zai. Old Lang Zai.
What did he say?
Old
Sai?
Lang Sai?
I just wanted to tease
what
him a little
it, Sai?
Bit.
How is it? Old Lang Zai?
You could just call it old for short. Yeah.
What is it? Seriously.
I don't know how you spell it exactly.
How do you pronounce it?
Pronounce it, Roger.
Old Lang Syne.
Syne?
S-Y-N-E.
Oh, Syne.
Syne.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear Carl pronounce
old
it.
Old Lang Syne. And speaking of old.
Thank you.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
Now this is a song.
Now this is interesting with our conversation.
I like this song. Leave it on for a little bit.
So hurry down the chimney tonight.
I'm pretty sure that is Eartha Kitt, right? Roger, is that Eartha Kitt?
I'm trying to.
Santa baby.
Well, she was the one who had the big hit with this when it first came out.
I'm pretty sure that's
but again, I remember Eartha Kitt with a little huskier tone in her voice.
I'm almost positive that's her.
So hurry down the chimney.
It probably is because it was a long time ago when she first had the hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Shante, our producer, says it is her.
It is Eartha Kitt?
Yeah.
Hang on. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed.
I love this song.
Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot.
Boom, boom.
Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Well, so she's being very flirtatious.
Santa. With Santa.
Of course.
With Santa. Now,
she wants Christmas presents.
Well, yeah, but if Santa was being flirtatious with her,
be a problem. Santa baby.
This is one of the fun songs that we've seen at Gloria's party.
And remember, she was a villain on what TV show?
And fill my she was Catwoman.
She was. Yeah. She was one of several.
One of about four,
sign your
ex
on the line. I think on the series there was Santa three, cutie, but then there was a movie, Batman movie.
Yeah, but wasn't that the movie? That movie was a compilation of.
No.
And shot
not.
That separately?
Shot totally separately.
Okay.
Shot it after the first season.
Right.
But, Lee Merriweather was in the movie, I believe. And on the series, you had, Eartha Kitt.
Right.
And then there was, the main one. What was her name again? Gosh, I'm drawing a blank now.
Now, was Lee Merriweather the former beauty queen?
Yeah, Lee Merriweather.
Okay.
But then there was, the main one that played her in heaven. Our listeners only.
Yeah, of course.
Listeners are saying that it doesn't sound like Eartha Kitt.
It is Eartha Kitt.
Okay.
Because, again, like I said, most people remember her voice being a little huskier, a little...
Well, because this is she's really years. Young here.
Right, right.
I mean, this is way before Batman.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Tonight.
So give me a little kiss, Santa. All right, that's great. I love that song. All right, well, we're tuning in to the Great Gildersleeve here on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's go back to December 10th, 1947. Christmas shopping, the conclusion of the Great Gildersleeve.
Around Christmas, everyone likes to have plenty of special food treats on hand for gala family snacks and for friends who come a-calling. And that's where Kraft's latest triumph, K-Brand Natural Cheese, is going to come in mighty handy. You see, K-Brand, that's K-A-Y, K-Brand is a natural cheddar cheese, and it's made from pasteurized milk. Yes, here's a good old cheddar with that beloved mellow flavor, that tender melt-in-your-mouth texture, yet it's made from milk that's carefully pasteurized.
Say, K-Brand does sound like a special treat.
It is. Just serve this natural cheddar to a real cheese expert and watch his face light up at the first taste. K-Brand natural cheese is pretty special in the way it's cured, too. Every big 10-pound bar is aged right in its own transparent wrapper. And it's still in that same sparkling, clean wrapper when your dealer gets it. There's no cheesecloth or paraffin coating, no rind at all.
Then every bit of K-Brand is usable?
Every mellow good inch of it. Tomorrow when you shop, look for the big wrapped bar with the word K-Brand Natural marked down the top and side. Have your dealer cut you some slices, a thick portion, or a wedge. Then serve K-Brand in sandwiches with pie on your cheese tray. It's mighty good eating, folks. Remember, K-Brand natural cheese is made from pasteurized milk. Well, the best laid plans of mice and men and the Great Gildersleeve often go astray. We find him now, footsore and weary, returning to Hogan Brothers department store. He makes a slight detour.
Well, hello, Commissioner.
Hello, Floyd.
Well, I'll be this afternoon, Shave.
Yeah, no, thanks, Floyd. Haven't got time. Just want to rest for a minute.
Sure. Sit right down over there and take a load off your feet.
Thanks.
What's the matter, Commissioner? You look all in.
I am, Floyd. I've been Christmas shopping.
Oh, that's kind of hard on the arches, all right. I got a washtub out and back if you want to soak your feet.
No, thanks, Floyd. Got to get back to Hogan Brothers.
Ain't you done shopping yet?
I haven't really started yet. I had a few interruptions.
Well, you got my sympathy, Commish. I wouldn't go into that pack of howling females for love or money.
It's got to be done, Floyd. You go Christmas shopping for your wife, don't you?
Not anymore, I don't. Not since that time I went shopping in Hogan Brothers on Christmas Eve.
Why, what happened?
Well, I got caught in a mob around the glove counter. Took me 2 hours to squeeze up to where I could buy a pair. And when I reached out for my change, some dame bit me on the hand. I can show you the scar.
Yeah, don't bother, Floyd.
Wow. So Lovey and me don't give each other presents anymore. When Christmas morning comes, we just slap each other on the back, holler Merry Christmas, and exchange $10 bills.
That's a fine Christmas spirit. Well, guess I better be getting back. I got lots to do yet.
Well, don't rush off, Commissioner. You just got here. You ought to really take a rest.
Oh?
Sure. Why don't you come over and sit in the second barber chair for a few minutes? More comfortable.
Well, just for a few minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is better.
Here, let me tilt it back for you. No extra charge. There you are, all stretched out.
This is nice. Just close my eyes a minute. Can't stay long, though. Gotta get my shopping done. Gotta get Leroy's.
Commish. Hey, Commish, wake up.
What's wrong, Uncle Buckle?
Commish.
What's that? Where am I? Floyd, why, it's dark out.
You slept a couple hours, Commish. Time to close the shop.
What? Let me out of here. I've got to get to Hogan Brothers before they close.
Hey, just a minute, Commish.
Huh?
You owe me half a buck.
What for?
While you was asleep in the chair, I give you a shave.
Floyd. Well, here you are.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Commish.
Haven't they found Bentley yet? Darn Floyd, letting me sleep like that. Lucky the store stays open till 7 o'clock tonight. Then I better get Leroy's airplane first.
Pardon
me. I didn't mean to bump into you, young lady.
Oh, it's my fault.
No, it was mine.
I'm sorry. I'll hurry right back to my department.
All right. Huh?
I just went over to talk to a girlfriend of mine for a minute. She's in leather goods. I hope you don't mind.
Why should I mind?
Oh, aren't you a floor walker?
No. I just didn't wear my hat.
Oh, you see, I don't know much about the store. I haven't worked here very long.
I'm Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. I'm in charge of the water department.
What floor is that on?
No, I'm the water commissioner of Summerfield, one of the city officials.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Miss Clark in sheet music.
How do you do? I'm a music lover myself.
Here I am talking to a city official, and I thought you were a floor walker.
Well, I wouldn't mind being a floor walker on your floor.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I'd better get back to sheet music.
Miss Clark, I'm on my way to the toy department. I'll walk over with you. It's right on my way.
All right, sir.
I'm not sir, I'm Mr. Gildersleeve, to you.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I've enjoyed our interesting talk.
You have? Sure, so have I.
You know, they say you can always trust a man who likes music.
Well, I guess that's right.
Well, here's sheet music. Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Mr. Clark.
Yes?
Long as I'm here, I might as well look over some music. Long as I'm here.
Oh, of course. Go right ahead.
Let me see.
What kind of a song were you looking for?
Well,
Would you like me to play you a few?
Good idea. Glad you thought of it.
All right.
No, not that one. Don't you have something a little more romantic?
Would you like to hear my favorite?
Yes, indeed, I would.
My, you have a wonderful voice.
Well, some people have been known to like it.
I think it's wonderful.
Of course, I never took any lessons.
I'd love to hear you really sing sometime.
Well, I might sing just one chorus.
You mean now?
Well, if you insist. I'll just sit here with you on the piano stool.
I guess it's all right. I don't see the floor walker.
You know how much I love you. You do. No one means more to me than you do. You take December and smile it into May, and then December comes back again when you're away. Who has a charm that very few do? Who makes life necessary? You do. And who can take my dream and make my dream come true? Don't give me three guesses. One will.
Didn't know he had an audience. Guess I'd better be going.
Encore! Encore!
Well, they liked it, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Encore!
Well, just one more. My Wild Irish Rose, key G.
my wild Irish brogue.
Gildy.
Oh, hello, Judge.
Mayor fire you, Gildy. This your new job? Yeah,
see you later, Miss Fire.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Just a minute, Gildy.
I'm in a hurry.
Yes, so I noticed, Gildy. You haven't done any shopping yet. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Poor little Leroy.
I'm going up there, Horace, right now.
Well, these escalators are all right. Nice, comfortable ride. Third floor. Just one more, then I'll... Peavy!
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for Mrs. Peavy. She's getting a beauty treatment over there. It's a sort of a Christmas present to me. She's been in the beauty parlor all afternoon. Of course, it always takes a little longer with Mrs. Peavy.
Say, Peavy, while you're waiting, why don't you come up to the toy department? Help me pick out a model airplane for Leroy.
All right.
Come on, we ride up on the escalator.
If you don't mind, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll take the stairway.
What?
I don't care much for escalators.
Peavy, you're not afraid to ride on one, are you?
Well,
everybody rides the escalator.
Well, they can if you want to.
It's just a moving stairway.
I prefer a stairway that stands still and lets me do the moving.
But the escalator's faster.
I'm in no hurry.
Well, I am.
Then you take the escalator.
Peavy, you're an old woman.
I wouldn't say that.
Wait till I tell the Jolly Boys about this.
Oh, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, yes, I would.
Well...
Come on. Just put your foot on the step.
The left one or the right one?
Egad, Peavy, either one. Now step on it.
All right, here goes.
There, you made it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're moving. Not so bad, is it?
You know, Mr. Gildersleeve, I kind of like it.
Good.
Come, Josephine, in my flying machine, and it's up we go. Hey, this is very enjoyable.
Yeah, here we are. Step off now.
That was lots of fun. Let's go on up to the next floor.
I've got to get that airplane. Now, come on.
What kind of airplane are you going to get, Leroy, mister?
I don't know. We'll kind of look him over. Oh, here we are. Oh, say, those are beauty.
Yes, they are.
May I help you? Oh, you.
Yes. Want to buy one of these model airplanes, one with a gas motor for my little nephew.
Very well. Now, this blue one here is one of our latest models.
Oh, looks like a real airplane. All right.
It's a high-speed fighter type. I'm sure your nephew would like it.
Yeah, I guess he would.
Very well. Shall I wrap it up?
Yeah, looks good to me. What do you think, Peavy?
Yeah.
Don't you like it?
Yes, I like it.
Well, what's the matter with it?
Nothing, Mr. Gildersleeve, but if you don't mind my saying so, I prefer the red one over there.
The red one. Here you are.
Well, that's a nice one, too.
It's a medium bomber. Boys love these.
Oh. I guess that'll be all right.
Very well. Shall I wrap it up?
It won't trouble you. Go ahead.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Huh?
On second thought, I think Leroy might prefer the blue one.
You do? The blue one, then?
Well, of course, the red one has its point.
Well, the blue one or the red one, Peavy? Which one do you think I ought to get?
I don't know. Which one do you like?
You've got me so mixed up, I don't know either.
Well, I wish somebody would make up their mind.
Peavy, if you were Leroy, which one would you like?
Well, I'm not Leroy.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I'll make up my own mind. I'll take the red one. Clerk? Clerk, where are you going?
I'm going home. The store is closed.
But, clerk, I've got to have that airplane.
No sales after 7 o'clock. Those are the rules.
But, clerk, what am I going to tell Leroy?
You can tell him the store is closed.
Days until Christmas, folks, and that means 15 days jam-packed full of gay Yuletide activity. When friends make Christmas calls, be ready with a tray of crackers and K-Brand natural cheese. It's Kraft's latest triumph, and what a triumph. You see, K-Brand is a natural cheddar cheese with that warm, mellow flavor, that tender, meaty texture, but made from pasteurized milk. That's right, carefully pasteurized milk. And what's more, K-Brand has no rind because it ages right in its own spick-and-span wrapper. Every bit is usable for holiday feasting. Tomorrow, look for the big 10-pound bar at your dealer's. Have him cut you a portion, but be sure you see the words K-Brand Natural down the top and side. Remember, this is a natural cheddar cheese made of pasteurized milk. Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It was written by Gene Stone and Jack Robinson with music by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Louise Erickson, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, and Richard LeGrand. This is John Wall saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further Adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
And folks, when it comes to Christmas shopping, don't be a put it off, be a do it now. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have The Great Gildersleeve from December 10th, 1947. Hal Perry, sponsored by Kraft. Christmas shopping. I haven't done any Christmas shopping yet, Lisa.
Well, get on it, Carl.
None. Zero.
What about all the people that work for you here at WGN?
All the people that work for me?
Yeah,
I have people that work for me here.
Right here, me.
Oh. Have you done any Christmas shopping?
What are you talking about?
Have you shopped or for anybody for Christmas, Hanukkah, or whatever?
Yeah, I don't really do the Christmas thing. We're going away to Florida,
You're out of here. You're out of here.
We just celebrate in Florida and, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, shameless plug. You know, I have a book, which it makes a great Christmas present.
It sure does.
For anyone that likes...
Top 100 classic radio shows. And not only does it... It's actually a really cool book. It's all color.
Yeah, it's a coffee table book.
It's real heavy.
It's big.
And it has the CDs for how many?
It has 3 CDs with 6 shows, but then you can digitally download over 70 more because it gives you a code throughout the book. But the book is like this huge, full-color, heavy-duty coffee table book, and I co-wrote it with Martin Grams, and Martin is an expert on classic radio.
As are you.
Well, thank you. And together we wrote this book. It took us like a year, and then it got published by an incredible company out of San Diego, and they just do amazing work, and they did... We provided all these pictures and stuff, but then they're just amazing.
Yeah, there's not only all color pictures, there's quotes and there's facts in there.
Yeah.
And all sorts of information on each show. It's not just the shows and the photos, but a lot more than that.
You know, I mean, there's thousands of classic radio shows, but what we did was we sort of polled experts and said, what are the top 100 radio shows? And there were sort of a consensus that The Lone Ranger, Jack Benny, Suspense, Gunsmoke, all the ones you would think, you know, about. Hi, Dave. Dave's here. And then, you know, but then there was ones like, you know, Hopalong Cassidy. Should that be in there? Yes, it got put in
there.
Made the cut. But there are some shows like, you know, that I didn't necessarily pick.
There were some soap operas that you don't play in there.
Soap operas.
They're kind of soapy.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I was driving and listening to the radio, the CDs that you know give away and do all this stuff, I'm thinking, he's got to push this book. This book's a nice coffee table book.
It's a great Christmas
book. It's the first time in a long, long time I've talked about it.
224 pages, so this is quite a book.
Thank you very much.
It's one of those books, you know, you can, you know, just pick up any time and, you know, on the toilet, wherever, really. No, but you pick it up whenever.
Makes for good reading on the toilet.
No, but I mean, it's something you just can just jump into and learn something new.
Don't jump when you're on the toilet.
No. And you know,
Roger did that. He hurt himself terribly.
Yeah, I did.
If you go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, you will see a banner. Scroll down. There's a banner for the book. You click that, and it'll take you to a place to buy it from me directly, and then it asks if you want it autographed or personalized, and I will personalize it
by
to
anyone
whoever.
At the station. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I will. If you don't want Carl,
I'll be happy to personalize it for you. It's only $29.99.
Wendy Snyder will sign it.
So, yeah.
Really, I mean, whatever.
I'll have to pay her $50.
Yes, I was going
to
say, if you pay me a little bit, I might even sign it.
You're going to lose money.
But you can get it at Amazon. It won't be personalized, but it's available at Barnes & Noble. It's available at Costco. But
Croc and Brentano's?
Yeah, unfortunately, no more Crocs and Brentano's.
Okay.
Gosh, I used to love Crocs
right?
and Brontanos.
That was a great store. Yeah.
But you could just go to WGNRadiotheater.com, go to the banner where it talks about the book, click it, and then I think you'd like the book.
Does Zayer have it right now?
Zayer might.
Zayer.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Turnstile has it,
I think. Community.
Community. I'm pretty sure. Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin.
I think there's still Woolworths. Ben Franklin.
They are still Ben Franklin.
There are, right?
Yes.
Ben Franklin's?
They are there.
Ben Franklin's.